Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 438, Forget Me Not.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And disco is still discoing along.
It sure is. It is discoing in a more or less positive direction.
Did you say more or less positive?
Yeah, it's been more or less positive.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've both talked about this. We know this season goes off the rails pretty hard.
Yes.
But we're not there yet.
No, so far it's just like, let's talk about the new kid and deal with everybody's sad times.
I mean, that's, you know, all right, good. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate this one. I'm also, and this is unfair to the show because we should be taking it as it goes, but I'm like, it's going to start sucking. It's going to start sucking real soon. Is it going to happen yet? And that's not fair.
When is it going to get to the Fartworks factory?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we spent a lot of time there, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 2000 episode of Terrence and Phillip. Mm-hmm. Anywho, why don't we talk about Forget Me Not? Why don't you tell us what happened first, and then we'll have a discussion, as is the format of the show.
Forget Me Not, my darling.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Dr. Culber starts a log explaining that everyone on Discovery is under a lot of stress right now, what with being stuck in the future, having no Federation, no family or friends, no hope, and also Mir Georgiou keeps kicking people in the leg. It is a lot right now. Meanwhile, Michael and new cutie Adira decide to head to the Trill homeworld to see if they can figure out how to unlock Adira's gutworm, or squid as it's repeatedly called. Listen, Star Trek, I know the difference between a squid and a worm. One has a bunch of tentacles, the other one is a tentacle. It's really easy to figure out. The Trill are not particularly receptive to a symbiote being placed in a human host, which feels honestly pretty typical. Nothing is ever easy in the future is a fact that is as true 1,000 years from now as it is right now. After one Trill priest tries to murder Adira, another helps them, and they all flee to the Trill caves for a Trill soak. Adira has trouble bonding with her symbiote, so it's lucky that Michael, in her instant grasp of Trill knowledge, is there to help out. Mm-hmm. They enter the Trill mind space or whatever, which is actually a pretty cool empty fog room with weird dangles everywhere, and Adira flashes back to their relationship with Gray, who is preparing to bond with his symbiote for the first time. "I'll still be me," he says, "just more," which is exactly what I told my wife when I started transitioning. Mm-hmm. Gray also has blue hair and pronouns. It is not a subtle story, guys, gals, and bonded Trill pals. Back on Discovery, Saru attempts to heal the crew by giving them one night off. This is also the company I work for's idea of self-care. And inviting the bridge crew to a truly disastrously awkward dinner. It starts off okay, but eventually it just devolves into the airing of grievances, which is, in its own way, therapy. Back on Trill, Adira's flashbacks continue as they remember a stray asteroid hitting their generation ship and killing Gray, forcing one of them little medical scutter babies to stitch Gray's symbiote into Adira's tummy. Adira finally bonds with Tal and all their previous hosts, and the Trill Council resolves not to kill anybody, actually. Back on Discovery, the bridge crew all make up, Detmer gets the therapy that she desperately needs, good God, and Saru plays an old Buster Keaton movie for the crew as a bonding exercise. This baffles both the alien crew members, who don't know what a 1,000-year-old Earth comedy is funny, and Georgiou, who doesn't understand a movie where a man is repeatedly hit with wooden boards and neither dies nor swears fealty to the Empire.
Now, I got to tell you, I got into silent comedies pretty big the last couple of years, mm-hmm. and Buster Keaton, one of the things I learned about him is mm-hmm. that he repeatedly broke his spine and ribs and every major part of your body and bones and organs.
Mm-hmm. No, a movie podcast, I did his stuff a year or mm-hmm. so back. It's like, what? What?
Yeah, he would fall off trains and then mm-hmm. get run over by trains, and he loved trains, mm-hmm. and he loved getting hurt by trains because he kept doing it.
There's a story I heard where it's like he goes to the doctor, he's like, "Hey, my neck's been bothering me," and the doctor goes, "Oh, your neck's been broken for 5 years."
Yeah, you're still like apparently you're still fine and alive and moving around, but yeah, you shouldn't be. my point is, that might not be the best thing for people all recovering from serious trauma.
No, no. Just flash to Detmer, just like, oh God, what if I got run over by a train? I don't even know what they are anymore.
Weirdly, they do know what trains are. They don't know what keys are, though. It's a very strange thing.
Well, trains keep appearing in spaceships, which is weird, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's a common problem in the Federation where your spaceship turns into an old train.
Well, the thing is, because they don't have money anymore, it's okay, because you don't need no credit card to ride that train.
That's true. That's true.
So you're fine. I liked Detmer's outburst.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was, I know what's coming, and I know we're not done with this, but I did like you said, like, dealing with this a little bit, and, like, her just shouting at, Stamets.
You were like, dead! You died! Okay?
And she was like, you come in and swoop in and save the day with your magic mushroom powers, but I gotta drive the ship, which is a skill. I don't just plug into a thing project myself to some other plane. I actually have to operate controls that are very hard to use.
I like Stamets just going like, it is a skill to put mushrooms in your body.
I mean, it is.
All right,
I mean,
Paul.
And he has engineering skills, but the mushroom thing feels more.
Yeah, magic. He's mushroom. That's why he's not the chief engineer. We have one of those. Right. You're mushroom guy. Go take your mushroom and get an extra life, which I guess is how Dr. Boyfriend came back to life.
Who knows? That was the power of writers saying, oh shit, we shouldn't have done that.
Whoops. That's a big whoops on us.
Yeah. Oh, don't kill your gaze. Don't.
Oh, I thought it said, I thought kill your gaze was a order. So.
Yeah, I didn't. There was some space dust on the book. I didn't see
that's
all of it.
That's that kill 40 gaze, it says here.
We were slowly introducing more. I guess we need to keep them around.
Watch out, Adira.
This is actually my good thing. I really like Adira.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We spend a bunch of time with them in this episode, and just there's a nice blend of child prodigy, but not insufferably so, like Wesley or even. Look, I love Tilly. We all love Tilly.
Yeah,
but not awkward like Tilly. More cynical, and I like that. I like this. This is a, like, what did they say? They're like 16 or something.
Yeah. Like they're young.
Yeah. And like not a legal adult yet. And that actually comes up later. But I like how sort of world weary they are. And I think like I saw evidence of that before the trill. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think that's just the way they are. And I like it.
Okay.
And then having, you know, 10 other lifetimes in you really would, I think, like, underline that.
Oh, yeah. God, I can't imagine 10 lifetimes of world weariness.
And,
I'm already so weary.
We're all... This is a very wearying one. Unrewarding.
He said, referring to my entire life. Thanks, Thorson. I just...
Yes, as ever. Thorson. But no,
a lot of fans, you know that, right?
I enjoy Adira. I enjoy like there's a lot of emotion to sell. There's a lot of weird sci-fi shit to sell, and the performer does it. I like the writing on them. I like all of it. It's good.
Yeah, they are great. I am very excited for them to be a cast member going forward.
Yep. And my bad thing kind of connected, and this is not entirely, they only set this up in this episode. This is going to come up more later. Their ghost boyfriend.
Yeah, see, like, when it first happens, I'm like, oh, they're remember that, like, they're remembering
an echo or whatever.
How, exactly. Like, I know this person so well, I know what they would say in this sort of thing. Which is a thing I've, one, seen before, and two, I could get behind, you know?
And the trill bug is projecting, like, it's not just memories. It's an actual direct link to, you know, this person's personality. So, like, you get more than just your own memories. You get, like the way Dax would remember things about Curzon or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, it's their dead boyfriend that only they can see and no one else can, and it turns into some real Voyager bullshit, and I don't care for it.
Oh, good. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's just that scene at the end where they can see the boyfriend and no one else can continues for a long time.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. That's great. That's great for me.
Yeah.
Why don't you fucking go to heaven or something? No.
Great. We got a snuffleupagus situation here. Great.
No, I would rather stay here and help you learn to play the cello. That's my my unfinished business.
I actually put the note here. Great, there's a cello. Maggie hates this episode now.
Why do you think I hate the cello? Have I said I hate the cello?
Well, you hate all the sort of classic, like, poetry readings and, like, Shakespeare and
fair.
all of those things in Star Trek you have expressed, like, much disappointment and irritation over.
You know what? That's fair. I like cellos.
Okay. I mean, I love a cello, but, you know. I just remember you, like, ugh, do we have to go to, like, classical music recitals on the Enterprise? Jeez. Mm-hmm.
I do still hate Shakespeare and poetry, so.
Okay, fair enough.
Shakespeare because I find it boring, and poetry because I do not understand it.
Same. We are in the same boat there.
Uh-huh.
It's a poetry boat.
It's like...
Or an anti-poetry boat.
What?
Uh-huh.
It's poetry. It's a poem. I don't follow.
It's a secret language that helps you understand not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
It's like, okay, so what if art was a word that was a metaphor?
Mm-hmm. What? That's some Voyager bullshit too, actually.
Uh-huh. Listen, metaphors is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Just say an actual.
Yeah. Yep. That said, and this kind of is your good thing, the abstract representation of inside someone's mind, which I was prepared to say, ugh, not again, actually not so bad in this.
I really like the whole Trill mind space thing. It's weird and, like, there's lots of, like, weird dangles and shit and, like,
well,
tentacles.
the dangles tie into, like, Adira remembers sewing some red thread, so there's a lot of dangling red threads that tie back to, which is not bad. I thought that was a little heavy-handed, but beyond that, the actual visual of it was good.
Mm-hmm. What if you could enter into your own murder red string wall?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that it wasn't a murder thing, because as soon as I saw the red string, great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, someone has been murdered.
Another red thing. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Star Trek.
Someone on Star Trek loves red. They just want red all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is M. Night Shyamalan working on this show?
No, it's a Abrams thing, actually.
Oh, of course.
Because he had the red matter in Trek 09, but like he puts that in a bunch of his stuff.
Why don't you shove all that in a mystery box, JJ?
Mm-hmm. But I liked the look of the moon space as well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a documentary on Alan Moore where he keeps talking about where his ideas come from, the moon space.
They come from the moon space.
Batman fights crime.
Take my name off this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Did you turn him into a Kiwi?
Maybe. Hello.
Alan Moore.
I love writing comic books.
Came up with Tom Strong.
DC Comics stole all my ideas.
But no, I liked that. And also, we visited these pools on Trill in DS9, and they looked like some real Planet Hell 90s, we don't have a budget bullshit, and they really spruced it up and made it look good in this.
They definitely took the idea of them and were like, okay, but what if we had some money, though, is the thing.
Yeah, you guys had a good idea, but you didn't have you couldn't follow through with it.
It's like, no, we'll have weird worm guys travel around in pools and shit, but also, like, what if it didn't look bad?
Yeah. What if it didn't look like a mall?
I love the one guy, like, who's basically checking the pool temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a thing floating, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen people who have pools do this before.
Yeah, he's got the little skimmer to clean up the leaves.
Yep. That's what all those spears are that they keep waving at people.
Yep. I love that there's like a council of elders, and five of them are like, fuck off, Michael, we're going to hit you with sticks. And one of them's like, no, it's okay. So Michael stuns five of them and says, you're cool, take us to the pools.
Yep. Which is true, you know, the cool person does take you to the pool.
I know, but it's just such a Michael Burnham move to say, Everyone who doesn't agree with me gets a phaser in the face.
It's just fucking funny.
Just unstun. I'm not gonna not gonna kill anyone.
Nope.
But you need to get out of my way. Okay, you're the one who can actually open the door for me. You're cool.
I just, the dude who's just like, no, you're an abomination. We have to kill you. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah.
And then the end of the episode, he's like, actually, it was wrong that I tried to kill you. And Michael's like, it was wrong. Don't do that.
Yeah. Look, when I show up, look, I'm from the Sarek family and we get what we want. Okay.
Yeah.
We come to a planet and we say, I want this. And then we get it.
I don't know if you know this or not. The franchise is kind of about us. So Shatner will tell you differently, but he's wrong.
Yeah, well.
About so many things.
That guy's probably still kicking around in the 31st century.
You can't. He won't die.
I know.
He'll just live forever.
I know.
Demanding more and more attention and writing books.
So, yeah, he's written, like, 9 autobiographies. How much life experience do you have,
I mean, that's Bill? The issue if you keep being alive.
Yes, but the interesting parts were when he made that TV show and movies that we liked, and maybe there's one after that, but one, not 7.
Well, this one's about my best friend Leonard, and this one is about the writing of the last book that I did.
So I meant to look this up on Memory Alpha and I didn't.
Yes.
But and maybe I should do that now. But the big deal is Adir is human and Trill only bond with, you know, Trill, like the spotted people. And, you know, you remember from DS9, they were real gatekeepy about that, even among their own people.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Like, you need to be the best of the best. You can't just be some rando. You have to be, like, you know.
Yeah, they got into that a lot when Ezri got the
Well, Ezri's backstory was very similar to Adira's here, where it's like there was a crisis. There was only one place to put the worm, so we put it here. Like, that's exactly what happened to Ezri. It's just like, well, it's either let the worm die or put it in this worm body here. I'm trying to remember. They talk about how it's never been put. Here we go. It stated that no symbiont has successfully joined with a non-Trill in 2,000 years, although it was not made explicit if this was due to lack of effort or interest. The Odan symbiont was joined to William Riker, but this may not be counted as a successful joining because it was only temporary. Okay. I could swear that the Dax worm got put in... Like, I know there was a Trill guy who took it from Jadzia. Yes. But I thought there was a... I could be remembering
wrong. Was there not an episode where, like, they find out that any Trill can get a symbiote? They're just real, like, racist about it.
I mean, yeah, because we go back to Trill and see the pools and all that.
Yeah.
But, like, and that was one of those early ones where they hadn't quite figured out Dax and they hadn't quite figured out the Trill. And, like, it is canon, but it also felt a little rough. So.
Sure. But I can absolutely see after 1,000 years, like, now you can just plop one of these in there. Don't, but you could.
Well, if they developed sort of organically, like, the problem is the burn. The problem is lots of Trill out in the galaxy died or got cut off from the rest of them. So now they're real like, oh, no. We only have about 50 of these left. They got to only go in the very best people. And the very best people are not this tiny human.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate, but also, shut up.
They also spend like 3 seconds with them going like, ugh, really?
Yeah.
You got tall? Really? Well, we shouldn't kill them, but also you should never come back.
If taking the worm out of you kills you, then so be it. We're not trying to kill you, but we are trying to save the worm. And if you're collateral damage, I'm just going to move my fists like this. And if you get punched, that's your problem.
Look, we can both agree that the worm is important and you're not, right? So you're willing to make that sacrifice where you die to get the worm out, right? Why are you looking at me like that? Like, we're on the same page, right? Everybody, am I crazy? What's happening?
Okay, fine. It's a squid. But other than that, you agree with me, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, is 900 years enough to evolve from a worm into a squid? Like, are we 1,000 years away from it becoming a crab?
I think we could do better than crab people.
I don't think we can at this point.
All right.
I think we could do better than crab people, Philip.
That is one of the things that I quote that no one will ever get until I explain it, because it's from a commentary track from the South Park episode about crab people. Just because they're talking about how they were writing the episode and couldn't figure out how it ended, and they're like, crab people. I think we could do better than crab people. And I think about that a lot when we're writing stuff, and it's like, I think we can do better than crab people. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't.
We got to put some crab people in Endeavor.
Yeah, why not? I got some skittering sound effects and some claws and, you know, I'm with you with that whole sort of rolling my eyes at them being weirdly religious about this.
It's like,
that whole like, oh, you're not worthy. Oh boy. I mean, it makes sense, but I've seen this in Star Trek so many times.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's mostly just like, oh, good, we've been gone for 900 years, and you guys are still going to be assholes about that. You kept alive the great tradition of being assholes.
Well, again, I think the burn, like, cutting everyone off. Like, everyone gets weird when they're isolated, when they don't have contact with the outside. Like,
that's true. Look at Earth.
We all learned that starting with COVID. I mean, you know, people get real weird when they're just by themselves all the time. Or they discover things about themselves, I guess.
I mean, you know, some of us can get real weird about that, too.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've been alone for a long time. I should be a girl.
Then I'll be a girl who's alone all the time.
This sounds like an interesting thing to do with my time.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? We got to see the, like, once the memories got unlocked, we got to see all the previous hosts, and including this Admiral, which to me felt exactly like one of those really tedious, we're doing a serialized story. The secret we need is locked in your memories. So now this episode's going to be about that. It's it's just such a, like, when you can see the outline in the script, does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like,
it's just like, this, all right, I see where
this is the plot point we need to hit. Now do this. Now do the, okay, fine.
I'll tell you where the Federation's hiding. Let me just do this crossed arms thing. There we go. All right.
Yep. Now, you know, in the next episode, we'll go to that place.
I'll give you a clue.
Just thinking about, there's a Duckman episode where Cornfed says, wait, we need to look for clues. Look for what now? And he's been a detective for a long time.
Yeah.
Clues, Duckman. Glues? is this one of them glues you said I should be looking for?
I like Duckman.
Yeah, me too. What else?
That's bad, I guess.
Well, I wanted to sort of talk about all the Trill stuff before we get to the ship. There's a very, very clear A and B story here. It feels two different episodes almost. So, like, do we have anything else on the Trill stuff before we?
I don't know. I liked it. Okay.
Yeah, me too. All right. So on the ship, we have what you said. We had the whole morale thing. So let's get into that.
Everyone is very sad and snapping at each other, and Stamets has gone back to, like, you need to shut up about your ideas, because I don't want to hear them. It's like, all right, well, Paul, you've had, like, 3 years of character development to not be an asshole anymore.
He's like that, though.
He is like that. But
like,
also,
he's hard,
like,
to be around.
You are not allowed to snap at Tilly, or else I have to go into the show using technology and beat you up a little bit.
The thing is, him being mean to Tilly is right on the line for me. It's annoying, but Tilly can usually defend herself there. It's when you do the Georgiou thing, which you've talked about. Like, where Tilly just feels like she's way out of her depth. She can't, like, she's hopeless there. But, like, with Stamets, she can, like, shut up, sir. With all due respect, you're a prick.
All the stuff you're telling at me, like I'm an idiot, I know when I've already thought about.
Yeah, exactly.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Like, kick you in the leg.
But so at the dinner, Georgiou, okay, why the fuck is Georgiou there? We got it. It was like, I know we hit this note a lot, but Jesus Christ.
Saru's trying to, like, pull together, like, a dinner with the bridge crew, basically.
Yeah, the thing is, like, this is a long-standing naval tradition that goes way the fuck back. The captain's table, which until we get to Pike, like, Sisko would cook dinner off duty in his quarters and invite the non-Starfleet guys. That's not exactly it. But like the captain's table thing, this is the first time until Pike that we see that. Like, it's a cool thing that Star Trek hasn't really done before.
But like, I was so baffled. Georgiou just shows up.
Yeah.
With her new best friend, Linus.
And she looks great. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like in her off duty clothes, and she's got like different hair and makeup, and she looks fabulous. And, you know, but why did
Look, again, this is the bridge crew. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's nice she's not wearing the Section 31 black leather. Mm-hmm. She's got other outfits, is my point.
Yeah.
They're also all black, but.
Yes. You know. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes that's just who you are.
That's fine.
Sometimes you just wear black all the time.
I mean, you mean like the 90s and early 2000s? Yes.
Yeah.
It's because, well, it's a lot of reasons. Anyway, no, but why is she there? Like, everyone else is in the bridge crew.
Yeah.
And Tilly gets a pass because she's a main character. Mm. But why?
I feel like someone's like, oh, we got a dinner with the captain tonight. Oh, well, I must have been invited too.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, she's like, she's behaving herself for a minute, and she's trying to show off how extra refined and clever she is. Mm-hmm. She starts doing haiku I think Hugh, like Dr. Hugh, has to spot and say, is that a haiku? Like,
yeah. Are you doing haiku?
But my point is, she just dropped it in the conversation, and if nobody got it, that was just for her. But if someone picked up on it, that's great. And so then they're all trying to do it, and this is actually really cute. Like, it's one of those moments where it didn't even feel scripted. It felt like these are the actors, because you got Tilly doing that thing where she's counting on her fingers.
Oh,
is that five? Is that seven? And it's really cute. And then we get to Detmer, who keeps trying to get the syllable count right for Stamets's blood won't wash up. No, wait, I can do this. Stamets's brains are splat. No, wait, let me try again. And it's like, it's funny if you just listen to the tone of her voice, but if you listen to the content, it's like, Jesus, Kayla, go get help.
Are you okay? No, she's clearly gone. I'm not okay.
No, and look, the show has never been subtle, and the cuts we get to her of close-ups of her looking terrified have really helped to get that point across, but, you know. But I still, like, that's some extra dark comedy that I genuinely enjoyed, but then things kind of go south.
I also like Owo just like, are you okay? No. Why haven't you had this conversation? You guys are friends.
Owoshiken's like her best friend, which is I like that. I genuinely like that. But it's also, it's that thing where you assume Chekhov and Sulu are friends because they sit next to each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're not friends. But okay, they are. All right. Sometimes they can be friends, I guess.
Sure. Fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
But like, these two, they've set this up not for the beginning.
They have.
But like, it's definitely been there. Yeah.
They've done the work. You're right. Yeah. You're right. It's just, for me, it's like, why are they friends just because they both sit in those chairs? That's that's such an easy thing, but it's fine.
You don't have to be, but you can be.
Yeah, exactly. But the reason this all came about is your bad thing.
Oh, yeah. So like, I don't think I've missed anything. I've been trying to pay attention. The ship's computer just decides to be three different voices who start giving advice to Saru. And Saru is just like, well, computer, you're acting very strangely, but also you have a very good idea, and I will do that.
So first of all, there's
no looking into that.
First of all, I like the awkwardness of Saru saying, how do you improve morale? I don't, it's like, putting aside our Archer thing, the fact that he went and asked, like, who are good captains? Like, this is what he does. He doesn't understand basic shit, so he's got to look it up. And I like that. It's cute.
Uh-huh.
Because he's like, I don't know. I have my instincts, but I don't trust my instincts.
Yeah. Well, my instincts are different than everybody else's.
Yeah. Like, so I want to make sure I get it right. But as far as the computer thing goes, this ties to that. This is such a weird choice for them. It ties to that short.
Oh, the Calypso short. Yeah.
The one where Book is on. And I think sometime in this season we catch up to that. But for now, it's like, what are you? You're right. It's weird. Like, I don't think that short has happened chronologically yet. It's already, like, been released.
Mm-hmm.
But in universe, it hasn't occurred yet.
It's not. I'm okay with them setting this up as like a mystery that's going forward. My thing is that Saru is just like, all right, whatever. I guess sometimes the computer gets real flirty. All
right. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
right. I have more important things to worry about right now than the computer giving me a good suggestion, I suppose.
Well, and several, maybe not bad suggestions, but unusual, like how to make the crew feel better. Coloring books.
That was very funny.
Now, look, I get it. I get that coloring is actually apparently a very soothing activity for some people. Like, genuinely, I'm not making fun of that. It's just in a list of how do I solve people's PTSD? It's an odd pull for like that feels like sort of a first tier. How do we have a nice, enjoyable, relaxing evening? Like,
sure,
do some knitting or watch a movie or use a coloring book. But this feels like a couple of levels above that is all I'm saying.
Yeah, right. It's just like the whole crew has got severe PTSD. Well, they've all lost some Starfleet issue coloring books, I suppose.
They've all lost their entire families, and also what's left of the support system that they always leaned on is nowhere to be found. Maybe a coloring book is not quite what you need. That said, I think the Starfleet issue coloring books are the ones that have like that picture of Spock that's got like the weird hat and like what's wrong with this picture, and someone said nothing. You know the one I'm talking about?
Yep. I also know that the free pencil crayon set that they give you only has red, yellow, and blue in it.
Well, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. See, I'm not even making fun of pencil crayons this time. Ugh.
Yes, not having this fight again.
It's not a fight. It's a ha-ha, you're from somewhere else and you say something different than me.
It's not a fight. You're just wrong.
No, I didn't say you were wrong. That's like us saying that everything Nick and Willikin says is wrong. No, they're from somewhere else and it's funny. That's all it is.
This is, Mal and I don't fight about a lot of things, but what we do fight about is the use of the word pencil crayons and the description of a certain type of hat as a toque.
Ah.
Where she is just like, that is not a word, you invented that. I'm like, all words are invented.
Sure. Well, that's true. Surely there are things since you've come to America where you're like, you call it that? That's the stupidest thing I've ever, like, this goes both ways.
Well, colored pencils, that's a stupid thing to call something.
I think it's a good description.
Mm.
It is. Mm. It describes what they do. They are pencils that have different colors. I'm not saying pencil crayons is bad.
No, it's good.
Yeah. No, we are not having this fight because there's nothing to fight about. Any hoodle? Also, they would just be regular crayons. They'd be like wax crayons. They'd be like Crayolas.
What the crap is pressed Bunsen?
Wow. There's a poll. What else?
Yeah, let me have a look at my notes here.
So there's the bit near the end where Paul sheepishly comes back to Saru and says, you have been amazing and you have like really helped her. And it is so obvious to me that Hugh said, you go apologize to the captain
now. Absolutely.
You embarrassed me. You embarrassed yourself. You made a mockery of the captain trying to do a nice thing for us. You go make it right now.
So Stamets leaves and then Hugh leaves right after. And he gives the look like, well, y'all know I have to leave now because I got to go fucking deal with this.
It's such a good couple dynamic thing.
Yep.
Like, I have an embarrassing partner. I love him, but I'm still sorry.
It's like, ugh, you get it. All right.
Yeah. Everybody here has dated someone who's a lot, I bet.
Yep.
Or if nothing else, you all serve with Michael, so you know people like this.
I also love after the party breaks up and everybody leaves, the last one to go is Giorgio, who steals the wine. Which is very funny.
I don't mind her as sort of that kind of comic relief. I genuinely felt bad. Like, Saru really did everything he could.
Oh, he tried really hard.
He's such an earnest, like, almost any character in Star Trek trying to do this kind of thing would come off a little corny to me.
Yeah.
But Saru's earnest, like, attempts to just be nice and do the right thing and make everybody happy is so pure.
Yes.
And then having Georgiou saying, actually, this is stupid, and you're stupid for trying.
Yep.
It's, oh, come on, man.
It's like, fucking, would you just, I am working so hard over here. I know, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, you were invited, actually,
yeah.
So.
Why are you still here?
Yeah. I mean, here on the show, here in the future.
Go do literally anything. No.
Just go do anything everywhere, all at once. I always forget the title of that movie. I always want to call it It's All the Time with You, which is not what it's called. But
no, that's the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's a good title.
Uh-huh. What else?
Let's get Jamie Lee Curtis over here, and you can both go off and do whatever. I don't know.
Hot dog fingers.
Yeah, hot dog fingers.
Did you see that movie?
I love that movie. That movie was great. Yeah,
me too.
Yeah. Maybe no, I watched that movie with when my mom was in town one time, and we were both just like, I think aww. I'm different now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe look at googly eyes a very different way. I know that.
It's certainly that.
Mm-hmm. What else? I think just broadly speaking, I think I said this before, it just felt not really like an episode, just like some stuff that happened.
Yeah, yeah, it definitely had that like, we need to take care of this before we can do anything else.
I think it's like the Captain's Table Dinner thing felt like a B story, which it mm-hmm. was, but then the Adira thing also felt like a B story.
Yeah.
Not because Adira is not important, but because, I don't know, it just didn't have the weight that an A story has.
Yeah,
know?
No, they both felt small.
Yeah. And I don't mind small, but
no.
The way this show usually works is you have a big story and a small story.
Yeah.
And if they're you're going to do small stories, maybe you should have had a third small story. I don't
know. Yeah. I don't know. What could, I don't know, some little medical robot or something be up to?
Yeah, sure.
What if we spent some more time with Detmer? I know we finally resolve her issues in this, but like.
No, we don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
We address her issues in this, but we're definitely not done dealing with it.
Oh, all right. Well, whatever. Then mm-hmm. we should definitely have some more time with her.
I mean, I agree with that anyway. And Awashikan and Bricer Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the, we've said this a million times. The show focuses mostly on Michael and then Saru and then Tilly and then sometimes the others.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of interesting people on that bridge we don't spend very much time with.
Yeah. I like all these guys and like, you know, give them something to do.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I have said before that Dr. Hugh's not my favorite, but he was great in this.
Oh, yeah, he was so good in this.
Yeah.
I like him as like, hey, physically, everyone's doing real good. Oh, good. Yep. Well, I have no follow-up questions. Give me one sec, though.
Then he brings up the next slide in the PowerPoint.
Uh-huh.
And it's a humanoid body just covered in red. This area's red. Like, without reading any of the labels, you know exactly, oh, whatever person that is in real trouble.
Uh-huh.
It was a good visual.
I assume the redness is good in humans, right?
Oh, no.
Right. Okay. It's like, oh, I'm going to need more notes. Mm-hmm. All right.
Red, bad.
Uh-huh. Oh. It's different on Kelpia, on Kelpian?
I don't know.
Kelp 10? Kelp War 3?
Kelp Town.
Yeah.
It's Kelpopolis.
It's different on Kelpton.
Uh-huh.
Because we can't see red. Oh.
I love the design of, like, Saru and his people, mm-hmm. but the name Kelpian, I'm sure we said this when it first came up, is one of the laziest alien names ever.
And then, like, they're at dinner, and he's just like, we used to harvest the kelp and then eat the kelp, which was good.
Because they're Kelpians.
See, they love kelp.
But look at him. He looks so cool. He looks like... Like, if you came to someone in the 60s and said, mm-hmm. if Star Trek could just make anything, if you could actually make the show you have in your mind, don't worry about budget. Like, he's got that look of a 60s alien, but with the, like, it looks good. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. But then he's a Kelpian.
He's a Kelpian from the Kelp planet.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Kelp. I need somebody. Kelp.
Not just anybody.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Let's see.
I think that's about all I have.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot else here.
No. It wasn't a bad episode, though.
No.
Because I know what we got coming, and this one's not bad.
What do we have coming? Keep waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Well, it's more like, I don't know if you ever saw Captain Kangaroo.
Yes.
When he would have the ping pong balls.
Oh, yeah,
him.
Yeah.
That's the shoes. Just right. Instead of ping pong balls, it's shoes. There isn't one dropping. It's a series of shoes.
What did you say to get the ping pong balls to drop? Because
I don't remember.
All I can think of is the stuff from You Can't Do That on Television.
Mm, yes. No, that is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you say water, then they drop water. And if you say, yeah. I don't know, they drop slime on you.
Yeah.
And then somehow that slime became Nickelodeon's entire branding. And
yeah.
People kind of forgot about that.
And also Alanis Morissette was there. Sometimes.
Very, very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
She was, but she was one of the kids who, like, they tried out and she didn't stick around. So
it's like, yeah, we don't like, you don't interact very well with Moose.
I don't know. Look, Moose was great.
Yeah. Look, we all love Moose.
I'm surprised you know that show. I know it's Canadian, but I have a rich
history with You Can't Do That on Television because it used to be on all the time and I would watch it and it scared the shit out of me, but I just kept watching it.
It scared you?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
They killed kids in that show occasionally, and that blew my tiny mind.
Okay. I thought you were scared of the weird drunk dad.
That too.
Nah.
I heard that was the That's chef.
Yeah, well,
the same
he
guy.
Played that the same. Yeah. Yeah, all the grown-up dudes were one guy, and all the grown-up ladies were one lady. Like, they only had two adults.
Yeah. No, that show had a huge effect on me.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah.
I think very differently because, you know, I wasn't scared of it. I was delighted by it.
There was something about the opening credits that, like, creeped me out. Everything about it was just like, this is off.
I could see that. Next week, we have an episode called Die Trying, and I do not know what that means.
Die Trying with a Vengeance?
No, probably not that. I mean, look, Voyager already did one that was, what was it, Live Fast and Prosper or something like that.
Oh, yeah, God.
Like, they already did one like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
Get busy living or die trying.
Yeah, today's a good day to die trying.
Uh-huh.
That's probably it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Die Hard actually had one that was like a good day to die hard. I was like, is this one about the Klingons?
Oh, God, that would have been so much better. I think he was just about John McClane fighting Russia.
Yeah, whatever. I liked the first one very much, like everyone does. And I liked the second one okay. And then the third one was fine. And then I stopped.
It's like, wow, these returns are getting real diminished.
How hard is it for this guy to die? Why doesn't he just die at this point?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all for this time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The website is postatomichorror.com. You can write to us, postatomichorror@gmail.com. Our Patreon is reviewing episodes of Lower Decks. And we're into season 2 now. And it's patreon.com/Algar. And there's also other goodies there. There's new Endeavor content there.
Mm-hmm.
Endeavor is launching its third season real, real soon now.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See ya, folks.
Yeah, you got to say the thing.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.